Well, thank you. All I want to do is try and give you just a bit of an account of the consultations that I conducted in the course of this week. I'm not going to go into too much detail about all of that, but let me just say generally in relation to the subjects that I consulted on in the course of this week, I did see a much more intensive level of engagement. I did find that people were really making an effort, and I think that we made some progress that is valuable in some areas. I'd have to say that we didn't get to what I would call clear-cut agreement on any of the big ticket items, which would have been what I would have ideally have wanted to happen. I think we got some indications of flexibility, and even some emerging points of convergence on some issues, but no closure or resolution on them that is definitive, and or even close to definitive in some cases. So I have to reflect on, and all the rest of you have to reflect on, where that leaves you. That's at the general level. So positive, reasonably positive, but not as positive as I would have liked, nor as positive as you need. As I say, you need now to reflect on where you and we go next. I have the sense that this round of consultations has come to an end, and that's why I'm having this meeting this morning. I know there is a green room scheduled for Sunday, and I myself will reflect a little bit more on what it is that needs to be done in light of that green room, and I won't be taking any decisions until I've had an opportunity to consult with Lucius, with the DG, and reflecting whatever discussion take place on Sunday. So, turning to the issues that were the subject of consultations during the week, I felt that on tariff simplification, I think in particular the Uruguayan paper proved to be very helpful in that process. There remains substantive disagreement on the substance of how to deal with that. That's no great mystery, but there was flexibility shown in that discussion, so that by the end of it you were certainly closer together than you had been before you came in. But it's not closed, and there isn't a magic answer that one can invent to bridge the difference. There is a difference that remains. It's perhaps, I would put it as quite a bit less of a difference than was the case beforehand, but it's still not resolved. But it's not technically complicated, and as I say, with the addition of the Uruguayan input, which was very constructive, we're quite a bit further on in the issue. On domestic support, and I did consult on that, and you know, people have always their standard positions on that, but I really did get the impression from that discussion that, to the extent that there were suggestions about which numbers you go for that emerged in July, there is still a kind of conditional acquiescence to those points if everything else fell into place. But of course, in the discussions, the if was a very big if, because people's interpretation of what everything else was that had to fall into place went beyond agriculture, of course, into other areas. So there's a kind of continuing conditional preparedness to live with what emerged out of the July discussions, but which is not textually reflected, except insofar as what was talked about in July is inside what is presently in the text. But it's still heavily conditional, but at least nobody's saying that they want to step outside that zone autonomously from what happens more generally. We had a bit of a discussion on footnotes 5 and 6 in the green box. We'd had discussions on that before. I presented some forms of words to the principally interested parties. Nobody's committed in stone to those, but I got the impression that they were reasonably positively received as an idea for the way forward, so I'm kind of hopeful that what I suggested to the parties would at some point be the basis for finalising an agreement, or for finalising a text for consideration on footnotes 5 and 6 of the Green Box. On what I called other market access issues, again, I think we had quite a constructive discussion on those, but in most of those areas it was really a question of me testing whether consultations that I'd held in July would in fact still be viable, or at least the outcome of those consultations, which never got textual form, would still be acceptable if we had to go to decision making, as it were, notionally tomorrow. And I pretty well got the sense that was the case, that there was no substantive change to people's positions since July on that. Again, some questions about depending on various other bits and pieces fitting together. But it wasn't as if we had to find anything new and constructive in those areas. That had already been done effectively, I think, in the period of time in July that I had some senior officials' consultations. So I think they are potentially okay for the moment. And if there's a moment at which they need to see the light of day, I don't think that there are reasons intrinsic to those areas that would lead people to change their position. On tropical products and preferences, again, people were, I think, being were prepared to be very frank and constructive with each other. The nature of that discussion had involved heavily bilateral consultations among the principal parties, mainly the developed importing members, representatives of the Tropical Products Group, and representatives of the ACP. And I wasn't myself, for instance, party to the vast majority of those discussions. So I was as much in the dark about what was going on in those in July as a number of other members were. The purpose of the consultations was to be able to try and get as much transparency among those of us who were in the consultations about what it was that had been precisely envisaged for an outcome on those areas in July, and to get as much clarity on that as one possibly could. And we got quite a lot of clarity about that in the consultations. Of course, it was very apparent that there was a pivotal role to be played by bananas in that issue, and I'm not going to dwell in detail about what the nature of that is, both as regards the substance of treatment for bananas and or the legal status of whatever it is that's going to be done to those yellow fruits. That is absolutely integral to being able to have at some point a revised text on tropicals and preferences, because it will have to be inclusive of everybody's interests. What I would say is that there's a lot more clarity about what the parameters of what was going on were, that I still have an area as a chair, an understandable area of doubt and vagueness about where exactly we are on bananas because of, if you like, the legal standing of anything that was a final agreement as regards bananas, and that remains a bit of an awkwardness in terms of being able to capture what I think is implicitly agreement on nearly everything else. I say nearly everything else because there is what came out in the discussions was that there appeared to have been some misunderstanding as between the Tropicals Group and the ACP Group over the treatment on preference erosion for one product, one rather significant product in the whole exercise, I hasten to add. And again, until that is resolved more clearly between them, I also have a second issue which makes it difficult for me to have a comprehensive alternative way of describing how we could have an outcome on tropicals and preferences. But what was more generally clear to everybody in the consultations was that whatever that overall outcome might be that's agreeable at least to the principal importing members, preference beneficiaries and tropical products exporters, there are other members who have interests in this as well, and they will want to see all of that with sufficient time to be able to appreciate it and digest it and decide whether they want to buy it or not. In the consultations, I had the impression that everybody else that was involved was well disposed to what they could understand was implicitly up for resolution. But of course, they didn't have every last item and detail. And so had a certain caution about saying we can buy into something the precise details of which we haven't fully seen. But there was no implicit contentiousness about that. So hopefully we can find a way to have that finalised. But strictly speaking at the moment, there are a couple of obstacles to being able to put that together. But I would hope that maybe with a bit of bilateral consultation urgently over the weekend, some of that could be resolved relatively quickly, but we'll see. On sensitive products, we had a pretty clear discussion. I had the sense from that discussion that as regards the big numbers in the sensitive products text for developed country members, the only one that will generally be viable is the one that emerged from consultations among some members in July, both as regards the number and the treatment. But it's clear for at least two, and that includes also what I think is relatively stable, the relationship to the paragraph 71 second sentence members, where there's a specific provision made for them. But it's no mystery that that kind of formulation is not sufficient for Japan and Canada. And we don't have an agreement on how text could be revised that would meet Japan and Canada's precise needs as well as everybody else's yet. I thought we had a good discussion and we had some ideas on the table for how maybe in relation to at least one of those two you could have a general provision that worked for everybody else. But there was no... Well, I thought that they were ideas and people didn't shoot them down at all. In fact, they want to think about them. I couldn't say that I got agreement to those ideas in the room. So I'll have to wrestle with that, as indeed will the principal parties, because it's a rather significant issue, but it's still not resolved. I think it's been worked over much better than the past, and we've narrowed down the parameters of difference, if you like. But we haven't got a clincher for it at all. So it is, at the end of the day, probably going to be a political decision. It would be nice to have a nice, clean, agreed way of presenting it to ministers, but at the moment we're a little way off that in my reading. I think more generally, as regards tariff quota creation, as it relates to sensitive products, we have also made reasonable progress. Of course, there's a long-standing view there should not be any new tariff quota creation, and there's the precisely converse view. I think there's an emerging acceptance that there could be new tariff quota creation, but that emerging acceptance is highly conditional, and would only work on the premise of those conditions being met, and paramount among those would be full transparency on what it was that members were intending it to be. And I put that as being the highest and most important, but there are others that are very important also. I think there's one member who's a paragraph 71 second sentence member who has a rather particular rather particular problem, and I think there was an openness to the members to how to deal with that, although there wasn't a precise formulation on how you could deal with that. For other members, I think there was a pretty clear setting of boundaries as to what the constraints would be that could hypothetically operate to ensure that this was not abused and didn't get out of control, and we've got one or two conditionalities emerged from the discussion which I think members were open to. But having said all that, I can't say there's agreement on any of that, and indeed the formal position of the members is still as it was before, but there was an openness for the ideas that were on the table, but not closure on them. So, as I say, flexibility, considerable advance, but not something that is technically resolved. But I think is closer, quite close to resolution, in the way in which it could work, I think. And indeed, on the other issue, which I think is the big one there, which relates to paragraph 76, I didn't really see much convergence on that at all. There are some minor, relatively technical matters relating to footnote 13, where I think if the particular case of a paragraph 71 second sentence member's needs could be met, we'll get that one tidied up. But there's still a difference, quite a sharp difference of view, particularly over the issue of whether it's even conceivable that if you have products above 100% that are not themselves sensitive products, that there could be some provision made for you to retain them. Very sharply divided views remain on that, and no real resolution, although I think a greater realization that this is a tough nut to crack, which is something at least. On export competition, again, really that was a case essentially of testing whether understandings that were developed during July but never took textual form to be presented to members because we broke down would be sustainable again if they saw the light of day tomorrow, as it were. Pretty much the answer to that was yes, although again there were a couple of issues which were raised by a member which hadn't been so apparent in July but apparently are problematic now. So no clear answer on how one deals with that. I mean, it's not decisive. I don't think it's a deal breaker, but it raises a degree of complication even in the export competition chapter that wasn't there in July. And there was no solution to that immediately apparent. On SSM, we had by far, I think, the most constructive consultation that I've ever had on SSM or been party to myself. I think there was a real willingness there to try and find a way to get closure on SSM, and some very concrete ideas there, so flexibility from all sides exhibited, and that was very positive. I suppose the best way I can generally describe it is to say that, and I may be even pushing the description a bit that way, it was a bit like at the end of that discussion I felt I had a daguerreotype for SSM, but I didn't have a nice, fine, finished photographic product, regrettably. In other words, you could see from that discussion, I think, the shape and outline of something that might work, but you couldn't really be sure whether it was a UFO or just the teacup that your wife was throwing at you across the kitchen table. So, you know, I think that's good progress, but and indeed, I'm not going to understate it. I think the progress has been quite solid. There's some elements which I think would be enough to give what I would call a kind of working hypothesis, but it's not sufficient convergence to amount to an agreement yet. And again, that means that I have to reflect on how one can best consolidate that emerging, possibly emerging consensus, but without artificially pretending that it's something that it is not or is not yet. That's pretty much, I don't think I've missed anything of what we consulted on. Oh, cotton. I didn't in the end consult on cotton myself because the DG had a consultation on it himself. I would just simply say on that, and I wasn't chairing that, I certainly was present during that discussion. Again, I think a much more constructive engagement on how it was best to shape any ultimate agreement, various ideas tried out about how you would technically do it, but no substantive, wouldn't be surprised, no substantive agreement. I mean, essentially the agreement there requires precision on basically a handful of numbers, there's no emerging agreement on the handful of numbers, although there's certainly a lot more clarity than there was before, perhaps, about what the parameters of those numbers would be if you went to the top end or the bottom end of what are well-known positions from members. So nothing more that I can say on that than that. Okay. As I said, I have to myself reflect on where that leaves us. As I said in my report in August, I felt that there were things that were in the consultations that I had in July that would have flown if you'd had a crucial agreement, but there was a certain risk in putting them out in the light of day when you weren't in the process of political conclusion. In respect of those issues, my consultations last week have indicated to me that, by and large, those areas of the negotiation remain as live as they were before. What I would have to say is if I put out those texts, which are pretty well written already and are on my hard drive, in an environment where there is a guarantee that you've got a political meeting to close, that makes sense. But just as it didn't make sense to put those out in a situation in September when it was manifestly not going to be a meeting to close, it's questionable whether it would make any more sense to put them out now unless one had a clear-cut understanding that there was a closing moment so that they would not sit out there like kakis on a tree for the blackbirds to peck at. If you have a guarantee that the guys are going to come in and harvest them, then that's a good moment. But you do need to have that. On the other issues, some of which I've touched on today, where they've been divisive and politically difficult, I have detected certain advances. They're not finished. So there the situation is a little different. The question on that is, well, if you don't have a finished article, do you artificially do so? Or do you not? And I think the answer to that is partly influenced by, again, the certainty of whether or not this is up for ministerial decision, because I think you and other people are always more tolerant of a marginal push of invention from a chair if you know that we're going to closure. If you don't know we're going to closure, my general impression is that people are a lot less tolerant of a chair trying to help them out. Both of which says to me that rather crucial to the question of what I should do next with all of this progress is whether or not there is a rendezvous that requires decision in the very near future or not. And that's why, for the moment, I will be reflecting on where you all come out of that, which may or may not happen in your consultations in the Green Room on Sunday. Thank you. The floor is open to anybody.